Week's Bible class, where our brother Graham Parcell will speak to us on the studies on the parables and the talents. As an introduction to tonight's talk, I'll read from Matthew chapter 25. So that serves as an introduction to our brother Graham's words tonight on the parable of the talents.
Thanks very much, Brother Mark, and good evening. Is that too loud or is that okay? Sound person will sort it out. I hope you're feeling interactive today, because I know that at Hyde Park we do like to, make comments and observations, and we've got a lot of collective wisdom here tonight, so that's fantastic. Now, I had a little word with the family, and it sounds like I'm in a stadium, actually, but I can always pretend, can't I? We had a chat, and I must admit, I don't like it when everyone says, when the speaker says, okay, can you get into four groups, and, people say, oh. So we're going to do it all together as a group, okay? So hope that is all right. So, the parable, and I'm glad, by the way, that that Mark, you read the whole thing there, because I think the parable of the ten virgins prepares us for readiness, and then right at the end there, we see exactly how talents can be used and how simply it is to be effective with our talents, to feed the hungry and to give drink to the thirsty. In the same way, who have we done it for? If we give water and food to people, who have we done it for?
Jesus.
Jesus, yes. It's as if we've done it for Jesus. And that's a wonderful thought for us, that when we try to do good, that we're actually doing it for Jesus. So there's various schools of thought as to exactly what a talent is. Feel free to chip in. But I think it's like the unmerciful servant. It was such a large amount that it couldn't be paid back. What's the parallel in our lives? What's the debt that we can't pay back in our lives? Jesus' sacrifice. Yeah, we can't give enough thanks, gratitude. We can't perform enough deeds. We can't think enough lofty thoughts. We can't give enough money to say thank you to equal the wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus by the Father and the gift of Jesus himself. So a talent is reported to be about 6,000 denarii. Denarius is one day's wages, which you take to be, this is probably in American dollars actually, so it's a bit more, isn't it? A talent is 360,000 approximately. And so if you multiply it all out, there's some figures on the next slide that contradict this, but the sum's there, five talents equating to 1.8 million, and two talents equating to 720,000 and 360 for one, but each according to his or her ability. Now, the commentary that we have from the internet, where else? In the New Testament, the term talent meant something very different than it does today. And of course, you being bright people, you know that there's a fantastic play on words here, isn't there? Because the talent has two meanings, and that serves our purpose very well, because a talent is a unit of currency, but it's also something we talk about, gifts or skills that we have, and we'll come on to that shortly. So in the New Testament, the term talent meant something very different than it does today. The talent spoken of in the Bible of the unforgiving servant, which you already referenced, and the parable of the talents referred to the largest unit of currency at the time. Thus, a talent represented a rather large sum of money. According to New Knave's Topical Bible, I'm sure you've all got a copy, one who possessed five talents of gold or silver was a multi-millionaire by today's standards. So whether it's millionaire, multi-millionaire, billionaire, some calculate the talent in the parables to be the equivalent to 20 years of wages for the common worker. And they're all related, these sums, aren't they, to the lifetime. In a lifetime, we could not pay back the debt that Jesus has given his life for us. And they're all along the same vein. Some calculate the talent in the parables to be equivalent to 20 years of wage for the common worker. Other scholars estimate more conservatively, valuing the New Testament talent somewhere between $1,000 to $30,000 today, and then he times it by 5, 2 and 1. Needless to say, and he says, but I'll say it anyway, knowing the actual meaning, weight and value of a term like talent can help give context, deeper understanding, a better perspective when studying the scriptures. However, it's the principle that's the key, the virtue and not the rule. So just putting that out there. So the first two double their money, five to ten, and two to four, and the third simply hides the money for safety. I must admit, just going over that reading with Mark, I did feel sorry for the last guy, because why do I feel sorry for him? And maybe you, why do you feel sorry for the last guy, the one who hid his talent? Any sympathetic people out there? He was afraid, yeah. And what's fear? Is this fear a nice thing? Who's been afraid before? Is it a pleasant feeling? It's not. So that was his motivator, fear. He was fearful. So, I do feel a bit sorry for him. We know that Jesus is the most loving and kind and forgiving person who has ever existed. And we know that there must be more to it than the fact he was just a bit fearful and did the wrong thing. Because guess what? We do that as well. So there it is. Now, I'm going to stop there. So I'm sure that people have got exhortations and all sorts on that. Would anyone like to suggest the significance of the 5, 2 and 1? It'd be the same if it was 7, 3 and 1 or 8, 3 and 2 or whatever. But would anyone like to give us a brief synopsis of why they think it was in that form? Come on, someone that has got a theory, I'm sure. Otherwise, I'll have to get Ben to give us one. Sorry, Keith.
That's up to eight, so eight is the number of completions.
Okay, yep, all right, yep, thank you.
And all different, we all get different.
Yes, well done, lady at the back there. Yeah, absolutely. And I've got a little point on that later on, Jenny, which just picks up your point there. Five is usually the number for
Grace,
yep. What's two usually number for?
Hmm?
Separation. And what's one?
Self,
yeah. That's very good, actually. Yeah. So maybe he was... The implication is that he wasn't just burying money. He could have used it for good. And as a talent or a skill, he obviously could have used it, but he didn't. Yeah. Yeah. Doubling of what you've got, multiplying it out. Yeah, no, good point, Tom. See, I knew there was someone who was going to give a sensible answer. Sorry?
Making an effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like the key there of verse 15 as well, to their several abilities. So the master knew what they were capable of, and so he didn't give the third guy 10 talents and say, here, you've got all this responsibility. He's like, I'll give you one. You should be, like, he gave them what they were expected to be able to handle.
Yeah, good point, yeah. Yeah, no, excellent, excellent. Now, those two points are great. So I just thought if I just paused a little bit, we might just squeeze some more. This side's a bit quiet, actually. I'm sure they will make up for it as we go forward. Otherwise, I'm going to start saying, they've got five talents, and you've got... No, I wouldn't do that. Okay. So the return, the man comes back after a long time, and I know it's probably obvious, but who is returning after the long time? The Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, John. So who are the people with the talents that have been given?
We are,
yeah. Such as us, really. So that's a wonderful thought, really, isn't it? The fact that God has given us talents. We're just summarising this piece here. The first two servants eagerly announced their results. Their master was pleased. Each is praised. Well done. I mean, every time... I'm not going to sing it, you'll be pleased to know, but... when you hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you know, there's lots of hymns and anthems and words, lyrics of songs that we sing regularly, aren't there? And it's just, you feel like you want to burst into song, don't you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the bottom line is, great point that Tarn mentioned, making an effort. And the other thing is that's what you and I want to have said to us. Young people, That's what we want Jesus to say to us when the judgment comes, isn't it? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have done well, and you're commended for your faith and the effort you've made. So each is rewarded, those two. They're put in charge of many things, and each is invited to enter into the joy of our master. And, you know, we think we have joy and happiness and good times, which we do to an extent in our lives, but this is real joy. This is the joy that we were created for. This is the joy of knowing Jesus and knowing the Father, isn't it? So, we'll have a look at it. This is the positive bit, if you like, or the two individuals that did the right thing. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained them 5 talents more. You can almost hear his excitement and his enthusiasm. And that enthusiasm produced a desire in him to say, I'm going to do something with these 5 talents that I have been given. And as Seb said, in accordance to the ability that the giver, that's Jesus, knew that he had. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, I don't think what we're supposed to do is to say, oh, I hope I've got 5 talents. That means I might rule over 5 cities. There's other references there, aren't there? I don't think that should be our motivation. I think our motivation in serving God should be purely to please him and use what we've been given. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord once more said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. You know, you've passed the test, if you like. I'll make you a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And so we come to the last man, the man who had received 1 bag of gold. Oh, we'll change verses here. 1 talent. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where... Now, just before I continue, who's he talking about here? Who's the hard man he's talking about? Usually, when you say a hard man, I'm sure it's the same here, but in England, if you say, oh, he's a bit of a hard man, it's rent-a-brute, isn't it? It's the bouncers on the door. It's the heavy artillery, isn't it? He's a hard nut. He's a hard man. Who is this hard man that's being referred to here?
Jesus.
Jesus, yeah. Okay. Master, he said, I knew... Well, he thought he knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. I mean, if there was ever a diametrically opposed description of Jesus, that's it, isn't it? Jesus is a hard man, harvesting where he's not sown, gathering where he's not scattered seed. So, based on that incorrect interpretation, he was afraid. And often fear is based on things that we don't know or we don't understand, isn't it? And I went out and hid your gold, I hid your talent in the ground. And see, here is what belongs to you. So, you know, he's still thinking that, okay, maybe he's... Do you think he saw the other two in the story? Do you think he saw the 5 and the pat on the back? Well done, faithful servant, and the 2, another 2. Is the implication there that they all saw each other, do you think? He's justifying himself, isn't he? Yeah. I think they were all like in a queue, if you like, and they all... Well, actually, is that true? Maybe Jesus does things, the right way. So maybe they were separate.
Well, actually,
what do you think, Ben?
I actually think this is a classic case of that what measure you meet will be measured to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the 2 that were abundant and gracious and like... how much effort did they have to put into doubling their talents?
Yeah.
Christ was gracious and put a lot of effort into them.
Yeah.
And this guy, I think he thought Christ was like him. Because
yeah.
He's obviously gathered where he hasn't strawed because his money's been buried in the ground. What's he been living on?
Mm.
So I think he's a bit of a hard man, has been doing this and thinks that Jesus is just like him. And Jesus
very true,
like, yep, if you think I'm like you, I will be.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Mm. In fact, you could almost reread it, couldn't you? You knew Jesus, that I was a hard man, harvesting where I had not sown and gathering where I have not scattered seed. And you knew I'd be afraid because all I did was hide your...
Normally you see other people that, like yourself, you all have this image that Jesus is just like us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this man is.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you. So we're getting some good thoughts. Well done.
Was he lazy or just didn't want to take risks?
Well, we'll put it open to the group. Was he lazy?
Well, that's what Jesus said.
Yeah. He does, yes. Yeah. Yep. So I think we're right to assume he was lazy, and then we're also right to assume he was lazy because Jesus actually said, as you said more in there. So it was slothfulness. Or...
I think as well, there's effectiveness really important.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The two, the five, the two, he's saying, how deliver us to me? I saw that as responsibility. Whereas his response is immediately, I knew you were.
Yeah.
And he turned it back on.
Yeah.
That's the thing about what this has been given.
Yeah.
The fact that he's been given something bad.
Yeah. That's very true.
Perspective too. So his perspective was all wrong.
Yeah. You wonder if he'd heard these words, don't you? Sorry, where have we gone? There we are. You wonder if he'd read the Old or the New Testament, reference to the real Jesus. This is the real Jesus that we can come to know, and I'm sure there are those in the audience who have been or are bruised reeds at the moment, and they're unbroken because they're being supported in the hands of Jesus. There's a hand there, and obviously we take that to be representing Jesus' hand, supporting. And he will not snuff out the wick. And, I've said it before, others have said it, but you couldn't get more gentle and less hard as analogies to how Jesus has supported people and how he can support us. So if you're in trouble at the moment, if you're sad, if you're confused or lonely, you're feeling a bit down, then just allow yourself to be supported by the two hands of Jesus as that... bruised reed, or as a candle that is being protected from the wind, and it's not, the flame is not going out, and the analogy there is that we are being preserved by the Lord Jesus and his Father. So that was the real Jesus, and as Tan said, that was implied that really he missed out on what Jesus was really like. So he just to labour the point, he begins with excuses. I knew, I was afraid. And then he attempts to appease Jesus, his master. You have what's yours. And we said that Jesus said he was not only lazy, but he was a wicked servant. You should have gained interest. Take away what you have and give it to the first and cast it out of darkness. Now, there's always, the conspiracy theory or the contrary view. And some people I read one on the internet, there's always somebody on the internet that's got an opposing view, isn't there? One person said that they felt that the man who hid his talent was actually doing the right thing because, he said, you weren't allowed to, invest money and gain interest from it. So he was doing the right thing. Who'd like to make a comment on that, or should we move on?
Trump provides lots of feedback. Well, the same person writing that comment as is in the parable.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Trump jumps by his own attitude.
Yes, yes.
I've always felt a little bit sorry for him. When I was little and I heard the story,
Look at that, working as one, yeah.
Yes, he's lazy, yes, he's this, but that's maybe but it's clear that Jesus wasn't happy.
Yeah.
So, but there are some people who are stuck.
It proves the point that everyone has at least one talent that they can utilize.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And Jesus knew.
Yeah.
That was the key.
Yeah.
So he knows that.
Yeah.
But we choose not to because it was his choice to pick up that shovel.
Maybe that's our week. can I suggest, or our month, or our year, or our lifetime. Sometimes we've got the five talents and we're producing five, sometimes we're two, and sometimes we bury our talents, because I think we can be all of those, can't we? Keith, you're going to say...
Yeah, I was just going to say that if I see one guy get five and another guy get two, I get one, I think, oh, they haven't got much to pay for me, I'll just bring it right.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
And
yeah.
Hot water is just so beautiful.
Yeah. You get hot water, but yes, hot or cold, yeah. lucky old Ern.
So I don't want to steal your thunder, but the one time man.
It's coming.
Showing up in James.
Mm.
You on there, James
2? Which? Yeah, I think I am actually. I know, James 3, I think I'm going. Go on, you can preempt it, it's okay.
Well, if you actually have a look at James 2, it seems like he's talking about this kind of thing, because the theme is faith and works.
Mm.
And James 2, verse 1, he actually alludes to what the talents are, which you probably come around to, but he says, "My brothers, don't show partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ in your hand."
Mm.
So you've all got this faith, all these people have all got this faith. And then he comes down to verse 14. What good is it if someone says he's got this faith but doesn't do any works? Can that kind of faith save him?
Mm.
No, he's an empty-headed man, because that kind of faith is worthless. You've just buried your faith in the ground.
Mm.
So if you go, say, go in peace, be warmed and filled, that's no good. But that actual faith that saves you is...
You really have faith that saves you if people need to make your master's life happen.
Well,
that's
the
point that James is making.
Mm.
You don't even believe that faith is wrong.
Incorrect. Well, yeah, and Ben was saying that your faith has got to produce works, hasn't it? Otherwise, it's not really.
Otherwise, you're a walking zombie.
Look, like it or not, I mean, you know, there are sheep and goats in the kingdom. There are people that are going to be in the kingdom, and those are not. I mean, much as, you know, on a good day, we just say, look, you know, why can't God just save everyone? But not everyone wants to be saved, do they? So, you know, the offer has been put out there, and it's only those that respond, isn't it?
He obviously didn't have that belief that you need, but
you should
be faithful, which is, I can do all things through Christ.
Yeah. The point was that, you know, that the one that made five, if he had the wrong attitude, which he didn't, he could have said, well, look, you know, I was given five and I've made five, you know, whereas he was only given two because, you know, Jesus only he could make another two. But they weren't into that sort of comparison game, were they? They were just saying, look, I've used what I've been given and I've done the right thing. So, let's just press on. There's lots of meanings that we can... equate. I'm sure you can give others. Jesus, the master who's going away, his disciples are the servants, which you already said. The talents are everything we have, money, jobs, health, abilities, family, etc. What we have belongs to God, and we're merely caretakers or stewards. In the same way, and look what a mess the world is making. I mean, look at the poor old Amazon with hundreds of fires, and the stupid Brazilian president, and I hope he's listening, refusing money from the French because he says he's being colonialist. Brazil is an ex-Portuguese colony anyway, so he hasn't even got that bit right. But, you know, that's the pride of man. We don't want your money, France, to put the fires out in the what's termed the lungs of the world, the Amazon. It's terrible. And you see all these photos of the shrinking polar ice caps, North and South Pole. We're really not very good stewards of our Earth. Oh, I know that Sue and others are particularly keen on trying to do their bit, which we all try to, but I think some people have a particular passion for it. We are supposed to be trying to look after our Earth, aren't we? But until Jesus comes back, we're not going to be able to do as much as we could, really. We have what God thinks we can use. God expects us to put in all that we have in service for him. Jesus will not return for a long time. Well, this was written 2,000 years ago, so we believe he's just around the corner. And your reward is not based on how much you have, but on how much you used what you have. So, using your talents, before you can use them, you need to know what you have. Now, what is a way, those that are married can find out all the talents they don't have, but for others, what's the best way of finding out what your talents are? Who would you ask? You young people that are making cryptic notes at the front here. What are you doing your homework?
Yeah, I would say that that's actually not what the talents are. I think that the talents is your faith.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, how could the guy with the one talent bear everything he has? And you can take away your money, your job, your health, and still be helpful to God. So I think that's not exactly correct. Your talent is your faith in the gospel. It's got to be active. If you bury it in the ground, it's worth
it. Yeah. It's correct in the sense that you can broaden it out and get value and meaning from it, though, isn't it? You know, in the same way, if we just stuck to it being money, it wouldn't have been very helpful, would it?
Yeah, it's not just what you're given by God, because you're not given what you have by your ability.
Mm.
So that people have the different levels. Everyone's got a different amount of faith, and they'll give it according to their capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you're not given the money and the job.
Anyone disagree with that?
Correct.
Yeah. I think they're all linked. I think your abilities will definitely have an effect on what you do, and I mean, this sort of broadens it out, and I mean, we're just fortunate, from my perspective, I think, that the word talent has got two meanings. I mean, they wouldn't have probably, when they originally heard about this, think about talents as we know them. It's just a play on words. But
otherwise, people think if you go and do your abilities, God's going to bless you in the kingdom. No, it's not your talents as you're a great orator or whatever. It's about service in faith.
Yeah. And also, there's quite a common view amongst some churches that, you know, the more money you have, then the more it's a sign that God has blessed you. And obviously, that couldn't be further from the truth, could it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel as a concept, you may not agree with this particular parable. I think as a concept, it's very healthy to consider what talents you've been given and to use them. And we are all beneficiaries in this ecclesia of people that have used their talents. And that's what, you know, Romans 12, which we'll come to later on, about the parts of the body, is all about. Everyone is different, and we all... that's gone well. Brilliant. I think...
Sometimes you don't know what talent you have until you put to the test.
That's right. There was an ecclesia once who had a fantastic florist who did floristry for decades and was perceived to be maybe the only florist until, sadly, he passed away at a rich old age, and out came some other florists. So I'm not saying we have to wait till people pass away before we step into the breach. But, I mean, sometimes you don't know unless you try, do you? And I think it's very healthy for us to tell each other what we feel our talents are. I think we naturally, you know, we know Alex is a great singer, which is why we always put him up there to sing for us, and all the other skills that people have. I reckon we must have the most colourful money in the world, don't you? With these big bad boys, relatively new. There are three two different aspects. What we do in careers, what we do with our talents in terms of careers, or careers in ecclesia, and what we do with our money. Now, I'd suggest it's easier to slip someone a 10 or a 20 buck note than it is to maybe, go around and help them with their garden. Money can be very easy to give, but also, it can be very helpful, and obviously we need it to survive. So, have a little think about all the parables and sort of references to money or finances in the Bible. I'll just start you off with workers in the vineyard, and the disciples left their nets, and therefore their livelihood. So they were basically resting upon Jesus. Any others at all?
What about the lost?
I've got that on the top there. Yeah, the lost coin. Yeah, well done. And then what about the other coin that was in the mouth of the fish? That was another one, wasn't it?
Prodigal son.
Yep, absolutely. The widow's termites. Or termites, sorry. Sorry, just didn't quite hear there, James. The measure you meet, that was yours, wasn't it, Ben? Prodigal son, as we just said, spent everything, didn't he? And yet still ended up, being the son that that came home and, pleased his old dad. The unforgiving, the unmerciful servant, yep.
The camel through the eye of a needle.
What about the rich man who Jesus met and he said, if you really want to know me, then go and sell all you have. Did he go away happy or sad? Very sad, yeah. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. What about the pearl of great price? Pearls are almost like a unit of currency, aren't they? There's a very important one, which we're a spiritual one, which we're going to get to at the end. But have a think when you get home. What are you doing with your talents?
Yeah.
Look at that. A sister over 20 getting out of her comfort zone. That's pretty good. Guys, young people, get out of your comfort zone if you need to. What is the important thing? Oh, it's up there. The important thing is what you do with what you have, isn't it? What are you doing with what you have, yeah? So young and mature, what are we doing with what we have? Sometimes when we see others doing things, we feel, I do anyway, feel very ashamed and really inadequate. But, you know, we try to do what we can with what we have. If you remember nothing, in fact, if you're writing things down, I think you might have written that down now. I think that's a good point, guys. What do you do with what you have? Yeah, what are you doing with your pocket money on the front row? Okay. Why isn't it moving? Because, okay, well, look, we were nearly there, Ben. You said James 2, didn't you? It was James 3, so thank you for not stealing my thunder. Verse 13 of James 3, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, who is that ultimately referring to? Who is that wise man that showed meekness and... Jesus, yeah. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is above, from above, is first pure, that's Jesus, then peaceable, that's Jesus, gentle and easy to be entreated. I love that word, entreated. It's an old word, really, which just means easily persuaded. Now, it doesn't mean to say that people say, oh, do you want to go here tonight? Oh, yes, I'll go there. Or do you want to go there? Oh, yeah, over there? Yep. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that we are accepting. Well, what do you think it means? Easily persuaded. It's a positive comment. Jesus was easy to be entreated. What does it mean? Very willing to be
forgiving.
Yeah, to be forgiving, yeah, absolutely. And what about willing to be forgiven as well? I think it's that as well. Forgiving, I think you're right about being forgiving anyway. Kind-hearted, that's another great way of putting it. Is that you? Is that me? Are we kind-hearted? We should be, shouldn't we? We should be kind-hearted, you and me, you and I. And if we're not, let's give it another go. Let's try. You know, if you start off wanting something, if you want to be kind-hearted, if you want to use the talent that God has given you, if you want to use whatever that reference is, the talent, whatever you think it means, if you want to use that, use it to be kind-hearted, to be forgiving, and to feel forgiven. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. That was Jesus, wasn't it? He was the master at not showing partiality. He deliberately looked to the people who were pushed down. You know, James says that if a man with fine rings and clothing comes in, you say, oh, come and have a seat over here, old chap. Just come sit with me at the front there. And to the scruffy man, oh, just sit at the back there. You're embarrassing us. You know, Jesus was the opposite. He said, look, rich man with rings and fine clothing, pop yourself there. I'm going to those guys. It's not literally at the back, obviously, but I'm going to those people over there who need me. And who are not getting much attention and feel they're not worth anything. And he raised them up, didn't he? He raised them up. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The return key stopped working. Well, I've spoken before, haven't I, as you know, on the parts of the body and the gifts, and we had a look at this one as well. But this is when in Corinthians there were some, as usual, you know, unfortunately we even have it in our day that we say, some say, well, I'm of this persuasion, well, I'm actually of that persuasion, and I favour this one and I favour that one. Shouldn't be like that, really, should we? While one says I'm of Paul, another says I'm of Apostle, you know, I follow Apollos' teaching, and others follow Paul's teaching, are you not carnal or, you know, being worldly? Who then is Paul? This is Paul saying it. Who am I? Who is Apollos? We're only ministers by whom you believed. We're just vessels. We're teachers about teaching about the Lord, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, that's Paul, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I've seen books before sort of do this, actually. We don't actually literally do things with words when they mean things like increase, do they? Perhaps we should. Perhaps it'd help people to read a bit more. But God gives the increase. And, you know, we can see it in each other. You know, develops we make, challenges that we surmount, and as Sue said, getting out of our comfort zone. Never painful at the time, but we learn from it, don't we? So then, neither is it that he plants anything, neither he that waters, but God gives the increase. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labour. So there it is again. We're not saying, of course, we don't believe in faith by works, but as Ben said from James 2 and all the examples in Hebrews 3, faith without works is dead, isn't it? For we are labourers together with God. You are God's field, you are God's building. All these wonderful analogies for working together and doing our bit. You can't farm a field on your own, you can't build a building on your own. We labour together in the Lord, all with different functions. And all hopefully showing some form of growth. Because really that's what this whole parable of the talents is all about, isn't it? Using what you have, whatever it may be, and growing from it, and growing in your understanding of God.
I'm in trouble. Why is that working? Ah, there we are.
This computer is just about on the way out. In fact, I'm surprised it hasn't crashed. I don't know what you do with your stuff at home, but I just max it out with my stuff. I don't like throwing things away unless they're absolutely broken. This is, hope you're listening, this is absolutely on its way out, I'm telling you. So, do you feel that you are growing in the Lord? Yeah, it's a pretty simple question, isn't it? I'm not expecting anyone to shout out, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. But, you know, these are the types of questions. You know, we cover, not with me, of course, but we cover all sorts of technical stuff and historical matter and some really interesting talks, which most of the time have a great moral, spiritual principle at the end, a take-home point we can go out of those doors with. But not always. Most of the time we do, I think. But do you feel you're growing in the Lord? Do you feel you need some inspiration? Who feels the need a bit of inspiration sometimes?
I do.
Yep, okay. A few honest people at the back there. Ah, what the heck is happening? Oh, there we are. I have to click on the actual slide rather than do a return. So there we are. Again, I hear myself saying this again. I have said it before, but it's worth repeating. Hebrews 11 is basically could be entitled, Look What Faith Can Do. All those incredible examples. People leaving homes, people getting shipwrecked, people, you know, getting into, you know, furnaces and lions' dens and all sorts of situations. In faith and coming out the other side. Absolutely incredible. What is your faith doing for you at the moment, and how are you growing? How's your willing service going? I mean, that was the whole point of all the sacrifices and the service that was being spoken about in the Old Testament, wasn't it? New as well, of course. But was it given willingly? You've heard of the old saying that that one volunteer is worth 100 conscripts, haven't you? Conscript is someone who's forced to go into the army or forced to do something. You know, you'll get far more out of somebody if they're volunteering for it rather than pushing them to do it. And so again, always encourage people to do what they enjoy. Sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone, of course, but do what you enjoy and you're more likely to succeed. How's your get up and go for God? Got up and gone. that's something that we need to consider. Have we got the enthusiasm we used to have? I've still got a lot of my talks when I did in the youth group when I was 16 or 17. Some would say they're better then than they are now. But sometimes it's actually a bit disappointing when you look back at some of you and you think, wow, did I write this? Would I be writing that today? Sometimes the faith you had as a 16, 17-year-old is better than the faith that you may have now. So we can always be learning, can't we? Oh, it's actually back working. So it got me thinking about the Pharisees, because what were the Pharisees doing all the time? Were they looking around to see who they could help? Think of the if you want to think of rules-based people, think of the priest and the Levite. What effect did they have upon the Good Samaritan, the man who was who'd been beaten up in the parable of the Good Samaritan? What did the Levite and the priest and the Levite do? They just walked on the other side. Still use that phrase today, don't we, John? We use that phrase, walk by on the other side. So many of these things we've said before come out straight out of the Bible, and that God isn't given the credit for them. So see what you think of this in relation to the Pharisees and how they behave. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regards to a religious festival, a new moon celebration. These are a shadow of the things that are to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual minds. They've lost connection with the head, skipping down to verse 19. There's another analogy to the body and how we all get our growth from the head, which is Jesus, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? And here we go. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teaching. There's plenty of those around, some positive, some not so positive. But this, I think you'll agree, is what the Pharisees did. They spent all their time in a life of avoidance. You know, couldn't touch that, couldn't do this, frightened to become ceremonially unclean. So the effect of that was devastating, or could have been devastating, for the man in the parable of the Good Samaritan. As we said, they left him alone. If everyone had behaved like that, he would have died. But thankfully, the Good Samaritan, that despised group, Jesus used the example of a Samaritan. Now, what's that note to self there? This is the man here who buried his talent out of fear. He did nothing with what he'd been given. He was avoiding, you know, he was so fearful. He was avoiding, oh, if I put it here, then I could have done that with it. He was so fearful, he did nothing with it. I did not use it, did not touch, did not handle. That's why no judgments or comparisons were made or should be made to one another. So in other words, we shouldn't be saying, you know, oh, look what he's done with what he's been given, or look what she's done. You know, it's not about that, because as Tan said, Jesus faithfully gave the talents in accordance with the ability and the willingness of that person to do what they could in their lifetime. So we are not in the comparison game, we're in the encouragement game. Trying to bring out the best in people, aren't we? So, of course, Jesus rightly condemns the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses because they left people without hope. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are experts in the law of Moses, so they obey everything they teach you. But don't do as they do. After all, they say one thing and do something else. They pile heavy burdens on people's shoulders and won't lift a finger to help. So that won't lift a finger to help. It's the same won't lift a finger to help attitude that says, I've just put your talent in the ground, Lord. Just buried it up. It's all there because, you know, I was afraid and I just left it there. It's that same attitude of laziness, if you like, won't lift a finger to help. I mean, what better description of laziness than won't lift a finger to help? Everything they do is just to show off in front of others. They make a big show wearing scripture verses on their foreheads and arms, and they wear big tassels for everyone to see. They love the best seats at banquets and the front seats in the meeting places. And when they're in the market, they like to have people greet them as teachers. So that's why Jesus condemns the Pharisees, because it produced people that wouldn't lift fingers to help people when they're in trouble. And obviously, that's not what we want to be like, is it? Now, for the sake of time, we've seen this several times. I think it's just a wonderful summary, if you like, concerning spiritual gifts. Would you agree that these talents are spiritual gifts that we've been given? Anybody not agree? So they're like spiritual talents, aren't they? Spiritual gifts, spiritual talents, spiritual aspects that we've been given. For what purpose? To please ourselves and to just make us feel better? Who are they for, all these spiritual gifts that we've been given?
I think the spiritual gifts is for people who are speaking tongues and interpretation of tongues.
They needed interpreters, John. Absolutely right. As you know, John, speaking in tongues wasn't one of the gifts that was elevated. It was more something that they had in those days and something that needed to be interpreted to mean anything. And, of course, the most amazing speaking in tongues was the Pentecost, speaking in a foreign language. And those that have been abroad recently would know they'd love to know a little bit more of this language and that language, particularly when you're in Birmingham. There are different gifts and different manifestations. Just flipping down to verse 9 here. Faith by the same Spirit, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking to another in different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the same Spirit who distributes to each one just as he determines. And just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. And that's the lesson right the way through Old and New Testament, that we can't do any of this on our own. Well, we only got 4 slides left, so sticking to time for once, which is pretty amazing. So how then do we develop our gifts?
By use.
By use. Yep, absolutely. Bit like muscles, isn't it? If we don't use our muscles, they sort of waste away, don't they? In fact, sometimes when we do use them, they waste away. But you have to put more effort, as the older chaps like me will tell you, to put more effort in to keeping your muscles the same than you used to. That's certainly true of me anyway. So then how do we develop our gifts? And by the way, they are gifts we have been given. So the message there is repeated that whatever gifts we feel we've been given, whatever gifts we feel we have, rather, they have been given. So that should give us humility. Any other points before we move on as to how we can develop our gifts? Yes, I am. No, I'm not going. Read it out, please. Thank you, Jeff.
Verse 35.
Yep.
I was hungry and you gave me food. Mm. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And later on it says, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it.
Yeah, fantastic. Yep. Yeah, it's as you said, it's where we started with the reading. It's true Christian giving is, and that's what Jesus has done to us, isn't it? He's fed us and watered us and give us a good place to be, and he's supported us like the bruised reed and the smoky flax. Thank you, Jeff. That's what it's all about, young people. That is the gospel. It's simple to understand, but to put it into practice is a lifetime's work. So I had to look this up, actually, as I do with most Greek and Hebrew words. But in Luke 19, verse 13, Jesus calls his 10 servants together and delivered them 10 pounds. I take it that was a pound each, do you reckon? Or would seem to be. No jokes about British people, please. And said unto them, occupy till I come. Did you know that it meant to do business? That's the... You did? I see Andrew's nodding his head there. He's got the beard and the wisdom, yeah. He knew. I didn't. But what sort of business is it? Does it mean we have to be wheeler dealers, good businessmen, you know, making a buck here, making a buck there?
Busy.
Busy, yeah, busy.
I've got a T-shirt at home.
Yep.
And it says, Jesus is coming, but busy.
Oh, fantastic. That's classic. And there we must end. That's fact. You know, there is a sense, I wish to steal your thunder, John, but there is a sense in which that is so true, isn't it? And yet, if, thanks be to God, if we happen to be asleep, or being a bit lazy, then God, through Jesus, will still accept us, won't he? But best to look busy and be busy all the time. But that was great. Thank you, John.
Busy in the Lord,
yes, thank you.
Not about your own stuff.
Yeah, thank you, dear.
You do too much occupied
sometimes. Yes, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you, dear. We'll discuss that later. All right, we've got two more slides. I know, it's a shame. This is the one that I really want to share with you. You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed or loosed with a price from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So what are we loosed from? What's that price, can I say? We don't, if we're always comfortable with that word, but it's not a price transaction, but we've been redeemed, haven't we? Jesus' sacrifice, isn't it? We're loosed from what, then? Yes. Well read, sister, well read. Yes, we're loosed from our sins. Correct, Tan, well done. We're loosed from our sins through the blood of Jesus. That's how effective the sacrifice of Jesus is. There is no condemnation, Romans 8, for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful hope we have. And then finally, just a conclusion here. Hope you found something you can take away with you. Please remember those words. What are you doing with what you have been given? And John said, the Lord is coming. Look busy. Be busy. Might even be better, mightn't it? The Lord has given all of us some talents. He expects to be making full use of them while he's gone. When he comes, he expects to find us prepared and show evidence, not in a legalistic way, but spiritual fruits that come from our hearts, to show we've been productive. When he comes, he expects to find us watching and to find us working. Will he say to us, well done, good and faithful servant? I'm not even going to read that last bit. Read it for yourselves. I want to end on a positive note. This is where we want to be, isn't it? And if we're following Jesus to the best of our ability, or we're moving in the direction of following Jesus, then he will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because we wouldn't want to hear that, would we? So thanks for listening, and let's get on with the work before he comes back.